coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. When difficult situations arise, do you react or respond? In today's message, Dr. Dale Meyer explains the difference.
When you trust that Jesus Christ is present to help you in every situation, the peace He speaks down into your heart will transform your attitude.
And Pastor Ken Klaus recalls a time when he needed that reminder.
There have been times in my life where I have not been happy with myself. As I look back, that day rates in the top 10. At the same time, it was a tremendous learning experience.
Hello, I'm Mark Eicher. Thanks for joining us today. Your gifts and prayers help the Lutheran Hour bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Thank you for your faithful support. Now with a message titled, Peace to You, here's Dr. Dale Meyer.
Diane and I have 5 grandchildren, all boys. They love each other. They play well with each other. But yes, from time to time, they fight with one another. Last summer, we were visiting our daughter Katie and her family in Rockville, Maryland. One day, Katie and husband Charlie entrusted us with Drew, who at the time was 6 years old, and Jake, 4 years old. Everything was going well until, out of the clear blue, Jake sneaked up and attacked his big brother. You can imagine how Drew reacted, tearful, angry, and ready to retaliate. I tell that story to introduce the distinction between reacting and responding. My friend Henry, a psychologist, has impressed that distinction upon me. Grandson Drew reacted when he was attacked. It's not just little children who react instinctively to some threat or hurt. We all have plenty of situations where we react. A driver cuts you off and you get mad. A friend hurts you for no apparent reason at all. You get a pink slip and blow up. You discover your spouse wrote a check that threw the checkbook out of balance. Whatever it is, it happens, and you churn inside and react outside. When you do not have peace within, you will not have peace without. My message today is this. When you trust that Jesus Christ is present to help you in every situation, the peace He speaks down into your heart will transform your attitude. Instead of impulsive reactions, you will respond to whatever comes your way with peace and calm, because Christ is with you. On the other hand, face life without Jesus Christ, and you will be deprived of the greatest peace possible, a peace that passes all understanding. Today, Jesus wants you to take to heart His word, peace to you. Let's begin with prayer. Almighty God, in whom we live and move and have our being, You have made us for Yourself, so that our hearts are restless till they rest in You. Grant us purity of heart and strength of purpose, that no passion may hinder us from knowing Your will, no weakness from doing it, but in Your light may we see light clearly, and in Your service find perfect freedom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That beautiful prayer was written by St. Augustine, who lived from 354 until 430 AD. Do you need more peace in your life? I invite you to consider with me a Bible passage from Luke 24. Here's the setting. It is the evening of the first Easter day. The Emmaus disciples had just run back to Jerusalem from Emmaus and shared stunning news. They had seen Jesus alive. So now picture a room in Jerusalem in which the disciples are huddled together. I read from Luke 24. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. Speaking of reacting versus responding, that's a natural reaction. We just aren't used to seeing people materialize out of thin air. I continue reading. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. The disciples reacted naturally. "This is Jesus' ghost," they think. But he says, "No, I am truly human. Let me prove it to you. Touch me and see. You can't wave your hand through me, can you? I have a real body. And how about giving me something to eat? Ghosts don't eat, do they? But I can. I am a true human." Let's pull back for a moment and think about that. Up until now, the disciples had known Jesus in a human way, much the same as you and I know and interact with people in our lives. To be sure, Jesus is a different kind of human being. The Bible teaches that he is the Son of God, but he didn't always use his divine power. The disciples' daily interactions with him were much like the daily interactions you and I have with people around us. Jesus was born, as true humans are born. He grew up as children do, and like all children, like my grandchildren, Jesus learned. He learned his stepfather's trade, the work of a craftsman, and he also learned his heavenly father's word. His parents provided a religious home life. Then, like most of us, he went to his work, not as a craftsman, but in public ministry, traveling and proclaiming that the rule and reign of God has come into our world. Into this visible ministry, he called the disciples, and they got to know him as a true human. They were present with him physically, much the same way your friends and family are present with you. They walked with him. They talked with him. They ate with him. They saw him get tired and sleep. They saw him show human emotions. When they couldn't find him, they went looking. "Where's Jesus? He must be around here someplace." In other words, they knew he didn't just vanish and materialize somewhere else. Just like us, they could expect his body to be at one place at one time. And finally, his true body was placed in a tomb. For as a true human being, he had suffered and died. But now things change. This Easter evening, Jesus tells his disciples, "That's the way you have known me, but from now on, you will relate to me in a new way. I want you to know me by faith and not by sight. You used to know me and see me as we walk the roads of Galilee and Judea, but now I can pop in here and I can appear there." Indeed, that's just how the Bible presents Jesus to us after the resurrection. John 20, verse 19, gives this version of today's story. "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them." Because he has his body, Jesus is still truly human, but he is not confined to one place at one time. He is true God and true man. How else can he promise us, "I am with you always"? Matthew 28, verse 20. Here's another way Jesus showed the disciples that Easter evening that he now fully uses his power as God, while still being true man. Jesus asks, "Do you have anything here to eat? Give it to me, so that I can show you that I am still truly human, but as your God, I don't need to eat. You used to know and see me as we ate together, but now I don't need to eat to stay alive." The same in Luke 24. Jesus ate with the Emmaus disciples, but then vanished. He doesn't need to be sustained by food as we do. Quite the opposite. True God and true man, he sustains us, body and soul. To sum up this amazing Easter Eve story, Jesus teaches, "You used to know and see me as someone who lived and died, and you assumed death was my end. You reacted. But respond with faith, trusting that I am your risen Emmanuel, God always with you." Indeed, in Revelation 1, verse 17, Jesus says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forever, and I have the keys of death and Hades." And from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 3, "He is the radiance of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." And from Hebrews 13, verse 5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Does this seem impossible to you? Are you skeptical? Jesus Christ was a man, an amazing man, you will admit that, but you think he was still just a man. If that's how you are reacting, let me try to plant some doubt. I am fascinated by the key fobs we use to operate today's automobiles. With that little key fob, I can open or lock my car at a distance. I can pop open the trunk. If I can't remember where the car is in the parking lot, I push the button and my car starts making a noise. And when I'm in the car, I can program my destination into the car's electronics or into my cell phone, and GPS will tell me how to get where I want to go. I can't see any of that. I don't understand how that works, but I know it is for real. In other words, in our day-to-day life, not everything is seen. But we use it, we depend upon it, we trust it. If it's this way in our daily life, why do we react to Jesus' resurrection appearances with skepticism? Are you thinking electronics can do things that the God-man Jesus Christ cannot do? Really? With God, all things are possible. Matthew 19, verse 26. When you trust the living Lord Jesus is present to help you in every situation, the peace he speaks down into your heart will transform your attitude. We all react to things that come our way. The driver cuts you off. Your friend does something hurtful. The doctor gives you a bad prognosis. What is it in your life? Remember my friend Henry's distinction between reacting and responding? When impulsive reactions well up within you because something hurts or scares you, trusting that the living Lord Jesus says, "Peace to you," will transform your reaction into a calm and peaceful response. How can you get to that place where you believe his words of peace? Let me read on from today's passage in Luke 24. "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them,
Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. How can you respond with faith that Jesus is with you always? Let the Spirit of the Lord Jesus pour that faith into your heart. And with that faith, you'll experience peace. He does that by his word. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name." Your sins are forgiven. Do not be troubled. Do not react impulsively. Peace to you in every time of need. Know Jesus as your brother, fully human and yet fully God. Do you have humble origins? Maybe you are an immigrant or children of immigrants. Do you feel lesser than others? Your brother Jesus, true God and true man, has humble origins, born in a stable. Do you put yourself down because you don't have as much as the Joneses? Your brother Jesus, true God and true man, said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Matthew 8, verse 20. And where was he buried? In a borrowed tomb. Do you struggle with sin? Do you feel trapped by something you know is not godly? Your brother Jesus, true God and true man, was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, but overcame temptation with the word of God. He rebuffed sin by quoting scripture, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Luke 4, verse 8. Are you torn about what to do? In Gethsemane, your brother Jesus, true God and true man, was torn between life and death, but he submitted to the Father's will so that you and I can have forgiveness, life, and salvation. "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26, verse 40. Do you have fears about suffering and death? Your brother Jesus, true God and true man, promises to lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. It comes down to this. Things come our way and we react immediately and sometimes impulsively, and the result for us and others is seldom positive. That's natural. When you are about to react, push the pause button and remember, your brother is with you. The writer of Hebrews says, "Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hebrews chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. I mentioned all our grandchildren are boys. These earthly brothers and cousins love one another, and God loves you. That is why he has given us our brother, Jesus, true God and true man. When our broadcast is over, I encourage you to open your Bible and meditate upon Luke chapter 24. Respond to life with trust in Jesus, our beautiful Savior. Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of man. Truly I'd love thee. Truly I'd serve thee. Light of my soul, my joy, my crown. I close with a prayer the church has prayed for centuries. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You're listening to the Lutheran Hour, and that was Dr. Dale Meyer. Now, Pastor Ken Klaus joins us from his home in Texas. Hello, Pastor.
Hello, Mark. Good to be with you.
What about Dr. Meyer's message? What had the greatest impact on you?
It was something he said at the very beginning. If you have the manuscript, perhaps you can fill in the quote and begin. My message today is this.
He said, my message today is this. When you trust that Jesus Christ is present to help you in every situation, the peace he speaks down into your heart will transform your attitude.
Yep, that's the part which hit me where I live.
Can you explain?
I can. First, I'd like to call attention to the fact that Dr. Meyer uses some absolutes here. He said, Jesus is there to help you in every situation.
Right.
Later, he said, you will respond to whatever comes your way with peace and calm.
Why is that so important?
Well, it's simple, because while I know Jesus helps in all situations, there are times when I'm not always ready to be helped toward peace and calm.
Any examples of what you mean?
Well, I can come up with, it comes from a long time ago when I was serving my own congregation, Bethesda in Hot Springs, South Dakota, but I was also at the same time providing pastoral care to three other churches that were without pastors at the same time.
So I can imagine making the rounds was quite a challenge at times and also quite a drive.
Indeed. On Wednesdays, I taught confirmation to the young people of these four churches. Well, one Wednesday, my alarm didn't go off, and I got started late in my haste to make up for lost time. I stubbed my toe on a kitchen chair, couldn't find my catechism, couldn't find my keys. Then as I hobbled to my car, I noticed the right front tire was low. I had to stop at a gas station for air.
So it sounds like anything that could go wrong was going wrong.
I put the pedal to the metal. In record time, I made it to my first stop, our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Custer. I blew into that town under full sail, and I failed to notice a stop sign posted at the city limits.
Well, that's not good.
Oh, no, it gets worse. I failed to notice the sign, but the policeman parked there was far more observant. Within a block, there were flashing lights in my rearview mirror.
So now your late schedule is becoming your really late schedule.
Well, yeah, I jumped out of the car, which is a practice police frown on today, and I stomped over toward his vehicle. I was doubly displeased, displeased at the idea of a ticket, and as you said, displeased at being made later than I already was. As I walked, I grabbed my license from my wallet and shoved it his way, and as he took it, I mumbled something like, go ahead, give me a ticket, you might as well, everything else is going wrong today.
Sounds like you could have used some of that peace Dr. Meyer was talking about today.
Oh, yes. As a policeman tucked my license into his clipboard in that kind of calming voice police persons reserve for hotheads such as me, he said, sir, I know just what you mean. I used to have days like that before I became a Christian.
Ooh, I think you just got burned there.
Mark, there have been times in my life where I have not been happy with myself. As I look back, that day rates in the top 10. It was a day I wish I could do over. At the same time, it was a tremendous learning experience.
Just what was it you learned?
Well, the first thing I learned is I could hurt someone, especially myself, by going that fast. I learned to slow down.
All right. And the next thing?
That if I let him, the devil can take matters of little consequence and make them seem much bigger than they should be.
A series of these little incidents which, taken together, can often change our whole outlook on things.
Exactly, and that's where what Dr. Meyer said is especially important. The Lord Jesus was there waiting to give me his peace. He was there when the alarm clock didn't go off. He was there when I stubbed my toe. He was there when I missed the light. He was especially there speaking to me through the words of a very understanding Christian officer of the law.
Often I think people believe the Lord's peace is there for the really big things, but not the small ones.
Bingo. He's always there. more ready to help than we are to be helped.
And that's what helps you respond to situations rather than just react to them.
Yes, Jesus' peace has done that for me. Though I must confess in all honesty, it is a work in progress, but it has helped. As have the words of the Civil War General Stonewall Jackson.
Stonewall Jackson. From what I know of him, he was a devoutly Christian man. He taught at Virginia Military Institute. He once said his faith enabled him to feel as safe in battle as in bed.
Yeah, that's the fellow. He believed the Lord's peace was always there if we took time to see it. He said, when I drink a take a drink of water, I always pause as my palate receives this refreshment to lift up my heart to God in thanks and prayer for the water of life. When I drop a letter into the box at the post office, I send a petition along with it for God's blessings upon its mission and upon the person to whom it is sent. When I break the seal of a letter just received, I stop to pray to God that he may prepare me for its contents and make it a message of good. When I go to my classroom and await the arrangement of the cadets in their places, that is my time to intercede with God for them, and so of every other familiar act of the day.
Thank you, Pastor Klaus.
Everyone experiences stress, but not everyone is stressed out. Stress is part of life. Peace to overcome it is God's gift to you in Christ. Read our free print resource titled Stressed But Connected and discover 12 ideas for managing stress. Learn how you can be stressed but connected to God through His Word of Peace. To request your free copy, go to LutheranHour.org or call 1-855-JOHN-3-16. That's 1-855-564-6316. Now Dr. Meyer invites you to join him in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.